Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
That was a very fun first hour, and we'll have more fun to talk about on the show today. Still haven't gotten into Joe Musgrove's just brilliant performance on Friday, but we got to talk about some of the bad with the good as well.
That was sensual.
Not every
Friday.
Yes, it
was. That was literally sensual.
Joe's back. He's back.
That was great.
But not everything is perfect in the world of the San Diego Padres, and that was illustrated on Saturday night with the 7-1 loss, which was a very aggravating baseball game. I mean, as far as frustrating games go, if you're Michael King, you want to tear your hair out on that one, starting in the first inning with the umps squeezing you, and then Pete Alonso hitting a three-chop dribbler that just kicks off the bag for an RBI double. Just so frustrating, unlucky to fall behind.
Did you see what he said to the umpire? Were you able to read his lips?
I saw him jawing, but I didn't see exactly what he said.
What he said was, stay with it. Stay with it. That two-seamer.
He gave up on the lane changer before he called it ball before it even got to home plate.
He said, stay with it. Stay with it. And, I mean, it's such good advice. It's such good advice. That thing moves a foot. So you have to
wonder
it through.
You know, maybe if we had Mike Winters in studio right now, we can ask him. But
pass.
I wonder if umpires do or should watch video of the guys they're about to
100%
call games with the box just to see. Okay, he throws this pitch a lot that cuts. It looks like it's a ball and then cuts across the plate, and it is a strike. I need to be aware of pitches like that, coming my way and be prepared to call those correctly during the game. Then, of course, there was the fourth inning when, gave up the 2-out single, fine. And it looks like he's out of the inning on a slow liner to Manny. Just a shocking, shocking error by Manny Machado on a play.
So brutal.
I would estimate he makes, 499 out of 500 times, maybe.
Change up on him, dude. Because when he hit it, I went, "Oh, that was a scorcher." And then somebody posted the speed of it. I went, "Oh God, that was 85.5 miles an hour off the bat." Manny makes that with a blindfold on, and it was just a brain fart, and it sucked, and I hated it. And he's got to make that play because remember the early part of the year. Remember, we would always talk about errors being fatal for the San Diego Padres. Ha-Sung Kim would boot one.
Bro, that's a baseball thing.
Two-run homer.
Walk a guy or boot a ball, it always comes back to bite you.
It usually does.
They booted a ball and then hit a guy.
It usually does. And especially with potential MVP Francisco Lindor stepping up to the plate and Michael King just put one where you just cannot put one. And Lindor did what he's supposed to do with it.
And if the bases weren't loaded, he was trying to get ahead with on the corners, missed, was down 2-0. Now you're just in an impossible spot. You've got an MVP candidate. You don't want to go 3-0, so I've got to throw a strike here. Lindor knows it. It was just the worst spot to be in for Michael King. And, at that point, he hits the grand slam. It's 5-0. And you just never get a chance to come back into it. And that's the other issue. The one that, until Ha-Sung Kim and Fernando Tatis Jr. are back, is a true weakness right now for the Padres, is the bottom, the 8-9 in the order. If it's going to be Mason McCoy and Bryce Johnson.
Mason McCoy's played pretty well.
He has played pretty. You can't expect that to continue. That's a fortuitous couple of days that Mason McCoy's got on base a few times.
Well, he didn't
even do this in AAA, though.
Right. But what we said about him is,
he's here for defense.
Just play defense, and he's done that.
Yeah.
He's absolutely done that.
But even if he's doing that, at some point, if you've got the bottom of the order as Bryce Johnson and Mason McCoy.
Now let's be honest. Yesterday was campy Bryce Johnson, Mason McCoy. Campy's done not a lot lately. Yeah, you got to spell Higgy. Higgy's going to get 4 days a week, whatever. But, it was black hole-ish. It felt black hole-ish yesterday when you got down to it. Now, again...
Now, it's temporary.
It's temporary. Likely. That's what I was just going to say. If we can, you know, keep it together, keep our mentals in order here, we're going to be okay, hopefully. You know, but you've got the reinforcements coming. They've done a fine job. Look at the record, man. Look at the record. They've done a fine job. It's not what you want. It's not ideal. Okay? It's not. But you also think about some of the other teams in baseball, Ben. The big one, the Dodgers. Look what they were rolling out. You know, Nick Ahmed, you know, and it took guys like Gavin Lux stepping up and hitting better so they could, you know, it would soften the blow a little bit. But a lot of teams right now, man, are scuffling. They got guys injured and you're having to plug holes.
There's no way you can say what I'm about to say without it appearing to be a slight at those players. But like when you have Randy Vasquez as your fifth starter right now, Mason McCoy at short, and Bryce Johnson in right field. Like, I felt it on Friday. I felt it when I was at the game on Saturday and just seeing the lineup. And you go, man, to replace those three, potentially, with Yu Darvish, Ha-Sung Kim, and Fernando Tatis Jr.
In
September, as you can smell the playoffs,
yeah.
It's hard not to get excited.
It is very hard not to get excited.
And keep in mind, oh, by the way, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. This would be a great time to call. The phone lines are open, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Chance to qualify for our getaway to Las Vegas, Take on Woods, and our musical trivia challenge here in just a couple of minutes. Ha-Sung Kim was getting hot before he got hurt. He was actually contributing, especially against those are the kind of pitchers, the ones this weekend, the ones that sometimes are a headache for guys like Jake Cronenworth and even Jerickson Profar, the David Petersons, Jose Quintanas, those are the guys that Ha-Sung Kim actually helps you against.
Yeah.
Those lefty kind of not flamethrowers, and he hits those guys really, really well. I could have seen if Ha-Sung Kim was in this weekend, him having a couple of big knocks, starting rallies, maybe hitting a home run against one of those guys, giving you more of a chance early in the game. So it will be valuable when Ha-Sung Kim comes back. We've kind of learned that the hard way here when he's been gone, just how much he's been missed until he gets healthy. And hopefully that is within, I mean, we're only, what, 3 or 4 days away from his 10 days hopefully being up.
Yeah.
And hopefully he'll be healthy enough to return. And again, Tatis appears to be knocking on the door for a potential return. And while David Peralta and Bryce Johnson have helped, you know, stem the tide while he's been gone, that's the biggest upgrade in baseball that any team can make right now is in right field for the San Diego Padres, adding a platinum glove winner with 40 home run potential for the stretch drive and the playoff chase. No one else can even come close. You know, I mean, yes, there are other teams that are going to get key players back. No one's getting a Tatis back and then putting him in a spot where you're getting very little production in the bottom of the order right now.
Yeah, no question. I mean, again, like, not, this is nothing.
You're getting a frontline starter, an MVP candidate, and a Gold Glove winner back.
Yeah, Mason McCoy's hitting.
Two Gold Glove
winners. He's hitting
platinum.
Mason McCoy's hitting .385. He's on base half the time. Half the time. .885 OPS. 156 OPS plus. And he's making plays at short. Like, he's not going to.
He's done a great job.
He's not going to stay on the roster, I would imagine. He's not.
He's done a great job. That won't continue. If you have to keep rolling him out there for an extended period of time, there's a reason why he was in AAA.
29 years old, I know.
There's a reason why he wasn't hitting in AAA.
He's put together
some good at-bats.
He has.
It's baseball. Anything can happen. You draw a walk. Hey, the pitcher doesn't throw a strike. Don't swing at it. Great job, Mason.
Yeah, great job.
He's not the guy you want to be relying on.
No.
You know, he's not. He's nowhere near even what Ha-Sung Kim is at shortstop, I promise you.
No question.
But, again, it looks like these guys are coming back, so hopefully this is just a very temporary issue. This road trip, obviously, continuing the, 18 games in 18 days?
It was, yes. How much is it now?
I think they're down to 8 games left. They're 10 games in.
What's their record in those 10?
They've got, I think they're 5-5.
5-5.
Yeah, I think they've got the 7 on the road and then the 1 at home on Labor Day against Detroit. Then they get the off day on Tuesday before the rest of the series against the Tigers. So still a long way to go and a tough, hot, humid, sticky road trip to get through. This is a dangerous week for the San Diego Padres coming forward. All right, I see a lot of callers, so let's get to it. It is time to play our game. Let's take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods. Woods. Woods.
Look at everybody calling in. Let's go with Robert. Line one. Robert, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
All right. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes, and you don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Woods has left the studio. Robert goes first. Five questions of musical trivia. If he can beat or tie Woods, he will qualify for our great grand prize this month, a two-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas and two tickets to Carrie Underwood Reflection at Resorts World Theater. Her residency is back. It is on now through the spring. Tickets available at AXS.com. That's AXS.com and RWLasVegas.com. Robert, your advantage, we give you the category. You can choose from these three. Sister acts, five different bands or artists with sister in their name. Genesis, all about the band Genesis. And our new category, Tier 1 Submitted, POTUS, five bands and musical artists that include a former president in their name. So, Sister Acts, Genesis, or POTUS, Robert, what's it going to be?
Ooh, between Sister and POTUS. I'll go with POTUS.
POTUS. All right, today's category submitted by Tier 1 Paul. Not you, Paul, but thank you to Paul out there who gave us this category. It is five bands and musical artists that include a former U.S. president somewhere in their name. Very timely here in our election year. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the five as possible. If you don't know an answer, you can always pass it. We'll come back if there's time left on the clock. First question's the two-second song. Paulie is queuing up some music. You need to give me the title of the song and the artist to score that point, and we'll go on from there. Robert, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Again, the category POTUS, a presidential name in every musical artist here. All right, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Robert. Let's take on Woods.
Pass for now.
Carole King won a 1971 Song of the Year Grammy for You've Got a Friend, but which artist won the Best Male Pop Vocal Performance that same year for singing that very song?
Also passed.
All right. Oh, which 60s psychedelic rock band from San Francisco cracked Rolling Stone's all-time top 500 with two songs from the same album, White Rabbit and Somebody to Love?
Jefferson Airplane.
Correct. What pioneer of funk and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer helped form the Parliament Funkadelic Collective of the 1970s?
George Clinton.
Correct. Formed in 1978, which San Francisco punk band recorded hits including Holiday in Cambodia and California Uberalis?
Ooh.
All right, back to the two-second song.
I've literally never heard that song.
That's all right. All right, you did get two. You got Jefferson Airplane and George Clinton. That song was Machine Head by Bush. And then James Taylor saying You've Got a Friend. And then Dead Kennedys or Holiday in Cambodia and California Uber Alice. Hang on the line, Robert. Two is your score. We'll bring Woods back in. I think you'll get this one, but we'll see. Very tricky category, I will say that.
And I don't get it.
I will. You don't get the category. And
you?
If you can figure out the category, I'll be very impressed.
Why don't you pipe down?
But the songs, I think you can do. All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Robert.
Machine Head by Bush.
Correct. Carole King won a 1971 Song of the Year Grammy for You've Got a Friend, but which artist won the Best Male Pop Vocal Performance that same year for singing that very song?
Is it James Taylor?
It is, correct. Which 60s psychedelic rock band from San Francisco cracked Rolling Stone's all-time top 500 with two songs from the same album, White Rabbit and Somebody to Love?
Jefferson Airplane.
Correct. Which pioneer of funk and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer helped form the Parliament Funkadelic?
George Clinton.
Correct. Formed in 1978, which San Francisco punk band recorded hits including Holiday in Cambodia and California Uber Alice.
That's, these are clearly presidents.
Ah, you do know the category.
California Uber, why am I blank, well, blank on the fifth?
You know the
know
category.
And you don't. Oh, Dead Kennedy.
Yes. He got the category. He got them all right. Robert, you ran into the buzzsaw today that is Woods. 5-2 win.
California Uber Alice. California yep. Uber Alice.
Bush, Taylor, Jefferson, Clinton, and Kennedy.
Yep. Very good.
Bush.
Submitted that one.
That's a very good.
That's clever category.
Very
POTUS
good category.
Is what that one was called.
Very good category.
Paul, thank you very much. That was fun to play.
California, Uber Alice.
So good.
Don't you want somebody to love?
You don't sound like a Dead Kennedys fan the way you're singing that song.
I don't hate the Dead Kennedys. I really don't. I don't. I just never, was never, this might surprise you.
Never a punk.
Well, no. I mean, there's some punk music I like, but I was never
Ramones
that angry.
Oh,
I didn't like. I didn't. I had angst, but it was more like the Cure type of angst. It wasn't like I hate my parents. I'm going to kill the establishment. I lived in Connecticut. Like, what do you have to be a punk about in Connecticut and Texas? I just didn't. It's not that I don't like it. It just never. You know, never resonated, really. I wasn't that mad. I was kind of happy.
We'll have another game for you coming up tomorrow. Next, though, don't do this, Woods.
Oh, we've got some audio of a very salty Met fan. He also happens to be a big-name broadcaster in New York City. We'll play that for you.
And our friend Katie Wu, covering the Cardinals, will join us at the bottom
now
of the hour.
Now, that's a do-do this if I've
for
ever
sure.
heard one.
All ahead after a check of traffic with Kelly here on 97.3 The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
3 stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we'll start Don't Do This today, talking about coaches who have trouble dealing with the media. And, of course, I am speaking of none other than Deion Sanders, a guy who really should know better. I mean, he's been in the media for quite a while before taking over as head coach at Colorado, had the whirlwind start. I mean, he won, like, what, 3 or 4 games right at the start, got everyone excited. After that, it's been nothing but a disaster for Deion Sanders at Colorado. And that continued with a story this weekend.
It's really rough. It's gone really poorly.
The University of Colorado football program has banned Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler from asking questions of Deion Sanders or any other member of the football program. And the school confirmed that on Friday. Obviously, this is a coach prime decision. Now, Keeler, he's been tough on Deion. I mean, he has written things saying this is the Bruce Lee of BS, a false prophet, the Deion Kool-Aid. People are drinking the Deion Kool-Aid. But he's got plenty of evidence to back up his opinion. And his job as a columnist is to offer his opinion on teams he covers. And it's been negative. But he's also a reporter who's credentialed and, you know, should be allowed to ask questions. And then you answer the question however you want to answer it. You can push back. You can say whatever you want. But to be so soft as to say you can't even ask a question of anybody because we don't like what you're writing just screams insecurity, screams of a program that's headed in the wrong direction. And I would not be shocked at this point if this is Deion's last season at Colorado. If it does not turn around pretty quickly.
Yeah, his son's going to go to the NFL, yeah?
Yeah, after this year. Yeah, maybe, we'll see.
It's so weird, man, the, like, duality of Deion Sanders. It really is, because we all saw some of his we all heard how he dealt with some students. Like, with some students, he's, like, the most elite coach you've ever seen. With the kids that he took over and inherited, he wasn't really great with. And
tossed him aside without a lot of care or feeling.
And I understand, you know, wanting to build your own team and put your mark on it. I understand that. You're absolutely entitled to do it. You are entitled to do that. You'd see and hear these stories and these great lessons that he would teach. And then you have, then you hear this stuff and you go, is it all just BS? You know, is it all just pinging the BS meter? Well, for me, especially, like, speaking for myself, the meter has been pinged a lot more lately than it was when he first started. I thought, what a refreshing scene for Colorado. And he put, I mean, look, man, he did the job. Like, as far as getting asses in the seats, he did that.
I know there's some people who will go, well, I mean, the guy's critical. He's writing nasty things. Why would you answer questions? Here's the right way to handle that. You answer a question that is asked by anyone in a professional manner. Give your honest opinion. And if you want to silence the criticism, you go out and you get it done on the field. And yeah, there's nothing that will make Sean Keeler look sillier
than
a 9-3 season.
Yeah.
And
a decent bowl game.
Yeah. And everything going well for the Colorado program. That's the only way you can answer his criticism. But by silencing him and not allowing him to ask questions, you just look weak and petty.
Yeah. 100%, man. Yeah. All right, so Joe Musgrove lives in San Diego. He's from San Diego, but he owns a very, very large piece of New York. He owns a very large piece of New York. Joe Musgrove is like enemy number one. We all remember what happened in the playoffs. Buck Showalter wanted to question his ears, the shiny ears. Umpires went out. They fingered lightly his ears, fingered it. Right there on the mound, just rubbing their hands gently over his ears.
To this day, one of the weirdest things I've ever seen on a baseball
100%.
Field.
100%. He was pissed off. They didn't find anything. He stayed in the game. Ended up shoving it. Ended up shoving on Saturday night, or on Friday night, which we have not talked about yet, and we will. It was a sensual experience at Petco Park, I imagine, on Friday night, watching that performance. So, after yesterday's game, Evan Roberts, who's a huge, huge radio personality in New York. He works with Tiki Barber, I believe.
He's our colleague.
And he had this to say on his little post-game, YouTube.
They disappear. We saw it against Dirty Joe Musgrove a few nights earlier when they got two hit by that punk.
Ooh.
And here on Sunday afternoon, when they get Martin Perez out of the game in the fourth inning, and they go through the entire San Diego Padre bullpen, they manage two solo home runs.
So he's ripping his team, right, for being terrible, but he's talking about Dirty Joe Musgrove and calling Joe Musgrove a punk. Now, Joe Musgrove, he wouldn't do it, but he would wipe the floor with this guy. He would literally stuff him in a mayonnaise jar if push came to shove.
They disappear.
Dirty?
We saw it against Dirty Joe Musgrove a few nights earlier when they got two hit by that punk.
Punk! Bro, you don't say that about another man like that. You just don't.
This is a narrative that confuses me, because I saw a tweet that I had to respond to on Friday from another radio and New York Post guy named Dan Bartels, who I had never heard of. But he had a picture of the umps checking Joe's ears from that playoff game. He said, some of us never forget.
I retweeted it, too.
Yeah, and I tweeted, apparently you have forgotten. If you remember this as something other than a huge embarrassment for the Mets.
Yes, it was huge.
If no one had checked his ears, and you could go ahead and say, he got away with something. No one looked at his ears. They were shiny. The umpires went out with a fine-tooth comb. They rubbed on his ears. They checked. There was nothing wrong. You can't go with that narrative anymore. You had your chance. Nothing was found. They let him pitch. He dominated. Being an embarrassment for the Mets. How do you continue on this storyline? You were proven wrong. You were proven wrong 2 years ago. You can't now point back and go, remember when he was cheating? No. No, they already proved wrong. They checked. There was nothing there.
He absolutely owns it.
I don't get it.
Do you guys have one guess as to the team in Major League Baseball that has had the most players suspended for sticky stuff? I'm going to give you one guess.
Now, Brian Kenny probably told me it was the Padres.
It is not. They play in Queens. They are the New York Mets. Max Scherzer, Blanco.
Padres have only had one player suspended,
yeah,
right?
It was Robert Suarez.
When he was coming back from injury.
Yeah.
All right, finally, a little doo-doo this quickly.
Mega doo-doo.
MDS was suspended. Yeah. 10 games.
So. Just a congratulations to the Lake Mary Little League of Florida for a dramatic 8-inning, 2-1 win over Taiwan, Chinese Taipei, in the championship game of the Little League World Series yesterday. Woods, they were down 1-0 from the first inning all the way until two outs in the bottom of the sixth, down to their last out. came through with the RBI single to force extra innings, went to the eighth, where apparently the Manfred man also exists in Little League. I did not know that. They put the free runner out on second base. Taiwan did not score in the top of the inning. So they try to bunt the runner over from second to third, lays down a really nice one on the first base side. The pitcher goes and grabs it and tries to get the runner at first. Unfortunately, the first baseman also went for it, and there was no one covering first. And he threw it straight into the outfield, and the winning run came around to score.
Oh, man.
As the U.S. And Paulie said, doesn't the U.S. usually... Don't they usually lose the championship game?
They play the U.S. pool and the international
And then the international
pool.
Winner. And for many years, the international teams, Japan, dominated. 6 wins in a row for the U.S. at the Very Little nice. League World Series. So congratulations. By the way, that was the same Little League that Parkview beat for their championship, Chinese Taipei, in their 6-3 win 15 years ago when they won one for San Diego and brought home the title here.
You know, as the and I'm sure there's a lot of dads out there listening and moms as well. I don't let my mind go to my son or sons playing in the big leagues. I just don't. It's minuscule. I do let my mind wander to them playing on ESPN one day in the Little League World Series. My mind does wander there.
It may be as hard to get to the Little League World Series as it is to get to the big leagues.
You're not kidding.
You have to win so many tournaments. I mean, so many games to get there.
When I watched some of it with Bo, he was more into that than he has been in watching Padre games lately. He was like, oh, they're just a little bit bigger than me, and they're on ESPN. And my mind absolutely does wander there.
The Lake Mary shortstop made a
oh my god, I saw
Ha-Sung Kim like
play up the middle,
like, you know, he dove to his left, did like a Trey Turner slide, spin, throw. You're thinking, there's no way this is within 20 feet of the first baseman. Perfect throw. I mean, I think it was the ESPN number 3 play on the web gems, and whoever was hosting SportsCenter goes, how is that not number one? He's a kid.
How is that
not number one?
It was fantastic, dude. Fantastic.
All right, let's take a break, because when we come back, I know we haven't finished talking about the weekend. We're going to look ahead a little early because we got Katie Wu, who covers the Cardinals for The Athletic. I had forgotten totally. Of course, this is a Mike Schilt return against his former team in St. Louis.
That's correct.
Yeah. That's big. He's going back.
You don't think there's a little extra juice
under
in old
the
Schilty,
arch
in
for Schilt. The next 4 days?
If I'm Mike Schilt, I'm staying away from coffee entirely for 4 days.
How about
I'm just staying away because he's going to be amped enough.
That's coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T. Savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Padres headed to New Bush for the next 4 days to take on the St. Louis Cardinals. Katie Wu covers them for The Athletic, and we will be joined by Katie right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So the St. Louis Cardinals are not out of it. They're 5 games out of a playoff spot, but it's time. They need to go on a bit of a winning streak like they did in 2021 when Mike Schilt led them to 17 straight victories in the playoffs. And we're joined right now covering the team for The Athletic. Our friend Katie Wu is in St. Louis. Hi, Katie.
My beloved Angels, can you hear me all okay?
We've got you. Perfect. How are you?
Amazing. It's like you have to be like a NASA scientist to figure out Paulie's direction and how to get hooked up to the audio. I was very nervous, but it is so great to see you all. How are you guys?
It's great to see you as well. We are doing very well. How hot and sticky and gross is it in St. Louis today? That's where I want to start.
We'll put it this way. Dennis Lynn texted me yesterday and said that he changed his mind. He will not be attending the series after one look at the weather. So I hope you guys are enjoying your perfect sunshine and your perfect state, because it's miserable here.
It is
very sweaty.
I always think about the guys. We played a game yesterday. It was 100. It was like 90 degrees.
Bro, it's 942 out there right now.
Yeah.
It's 86 degrees. Oh.
86, just all humidity. And I thought about the guys. I had to I almost vomited when I got to first base and had to take a pinch runner. And I'm like, man, these guys got to go do it out there every single day.
97 today, 100 tomorrow, 96 and rain on Wednesday. Ugh.
This is unreal.
Oh, rain?
Yeah, rain.
I didn't even know there was rain. This state is not real, I'm telling you guys. It doesn't exist.
Well, our teams, I will say this, the St. Louis Cardinals are sitting there at 500 right now, I think 65-65. And I'm telling you, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, Katie, I thought, yeah, this is when we talked to Katie Wu, we're going to be sitting here at two 500 teams. I mean, period, the end. That's exactly what I thought. The only difference is the Padres have had a run. The Cardinals haven't really had that run that has put them over. What has gone, I guess what's gone right and what's gone wrong? And you got to do something right to be, you know, at 500.
You know, I think it's just kind of baffling to see where the Cardinals are where they are, because when you think about their lineup and the people that should have been powering their offense, none of them really have. I mean, just in the week alone, the Cardinals optioned Jordan Walker back down to AAA. They sent Nolan Gorman, who is supposed to be their big power hitting second baseman from the left side. He's back in Memphis. Wilson Contreras broke his finger on Saturday, and the hits just keep coming. And credit to the Cardinals, they keep finding ways to win pivotal series. The big thing with the Cardinals is they have been unable to go on that run, like you said, Woodsy. Yeah. They have one win streak of above five games. Everything else has been win two, lose two, very 500. So I think this is exactly kind of where they were built to be. That they're able to stay afloat in what has been a really chaotic and honestly not very good August is commendable. But man, what a big hole they're in September. It's certainly not going to get any easier with Mike Schilt and his Soren Padres coming into town for four.
Want to ask you about Mike Schilt. When the Cardinals came to town, it was right in the beginning of April, so very early in the season, and we're more focused on the Padres. But this is a pretty big return here for Mike Schilt to St. Louis. What's kind of the talk about having him back after his time as manager of the Cardinals, how it ended, and now he's returning with a playoff contending team?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you're Mike Schilt, you're feeling a lot of emotions right now. It's his first time back in St. Louis since he was unceremoniously and kind of shockingly fired after that 17-game winning streak in 2021 to take the Cardinals to the wild card series. And he hasn't been back since. And there's obviously going to be a lot of feelings there, a lot of emotion. But I think if you're Mike Schilt, you're coming in there with a squad that has been one of the best teams since the second half. I mean, the Padres just keep finding ways to win. It's insane. I don't know how you guys keep doing it. Maybe the Cardinals could take some notes. I think there'll be a lot of emotion for Schilty there. I don't necessarily envision a like tribute video, because I think that would just be kind of awkward. But I do expect him to get a pretty significant standing ovation. I don't know when he's exchanging the lineup cards at home plate, if he does that with Ollie Marmol, who he remains friends with. So we'll see. But I'm sure there's a lot of meaning behind this series for Schilty. You know, he was a Cardinals farmhand through and through, spent 20 years, a lifer, never expected to leave the organization, but life comes at you fast. So we'll see how he handles it. But no doubt about it, a pivotal series for both St. Louis and San Diego. Honestly, the Padres, with a convincing series, have a chance to kind of put the dagger in the Cardinals season right now. So I'm sure that's an opportunity Mike Schilt will relish. But the Cardinals have been playing better baseball, much more competitive games. So we will see.
Who has been, and I know there was a lot of talk in the offseason about the moves that they made. You know, they added some guys that were maybe a little bit longer in the tooth, but can go out and eat innings. What has been as far as the pitching side goes, what has kind of been the weakness for them? Because I know a lot of people are like, man, you know, Lance Lynn and these guys, but he's actually, I think, pitched okay, if I'm not mistaken. And they've added, you know, some of those guys that go out there and they can chew up six, seven innings. Doesn't mean you're always going to win the game, but what has kind of been the weakness pitching for them?
I think finding consistency. Sonny Gray has been everything as advertised, except for his home run rate has skyrocketed. And you were expecting that home run rate to go up a little bit. I mean, he only allowed 8 last year. But pitching at a pitcher-friendly park like Busch Stadium for half your games, there actually hasn't really been much of a difference there. He's just been on the road giving up a lot of home runs in the 3-run variety. So not what you want to do if you're Sonny Gray. No. Kyle Gibson's been a nice addition. He provides that length, that veteran experience you're talking about. And Lance Lynn was doing the same. He's actually on the IL right now with a right knee injury, but he's throwing live BP 3:00 today. Big ticket item at New Bush. So, you know, I think it's just about finding consistency. Miles Michaelis has had a very up and down season. Their best pitcher right now, for all the talk about veteran leadership and experience, has been Andre Pallante, who is 25 years old. Bounced up and down throughout the rotation before, got called up from AAA and has absolutely shoved since. So that's just kind of the unpredictable nature of baseball. You build this rotation with a bunch of guys over 30 that have this experience that, you know, you can really trust to deliver innings, and you're relying on this 25-year-old guy that came up out of nowhere in May and hasn't really gone down since.
Katie Wu from The Athletic is joining us from her stylish kitchen here in St. Louis on 97.3 The Fan. And I'm going to ask the question that Woods really wants to know the answer to. Ollie Marmol, I believe, signed a 2-year contract extension back in spring training, but I mean, the results have not been typical for a St. Louis Cardinals manager. They usually expect more. Is his job potentially on the hot seat here at the end of the season? And if it is, will they hire Woodsy's idol Skip Schumacher as the next manager of the Cardinals when he leaves the Marlins at the end of the season?
I think Skip Schumacher will be a very hot commodity.
He's already a very hot commodity, okay? If he never manages again, he's a very hot commodity.
You didn't even have to say the word commodity.
He's a very hot.
Oh, I hate you guys. Yeah, so I think no matter where he goes or if there's an opening, regardless, any team is going to interview him. Why not? For the Cardinals, though, it gets a little complicated because their president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, has already pledged that he's going to step down from his position after the end of the 2025 season and kind of phase out. If you know that, if you have this in your plans for the Cardinals who preach, you know, consistency and stability, I can't see them make a managerial change at the end of the 2024 season. Because your new front office in 2026, whether that's internally or externally coming in, is going to want to hire their own manager as well. So that's a lot of turnover for an organization that's already had a significant amount in terms of managers. We will see. I think it all kind of depends on what the Cardinals do to end the season. If they go out and make a run and do their typical September insanity and sneak into the playoffs, then everyone's probably safe for one more year. But think about it this way, guys. Out here in baseball heaven, the Cardinals have not posted back-to-back losing seasons since 162-game seasons were implemented. So it's quite literally never happened in a full season before back-to-back, and they are flirting with a very dangerous line. Who doesn't love to flirt? But this is kind of the dangerous one that they're doing here in the final 5 weeks of the season.
That is insane. When you really, really think about that, I mean, that's such a tremendous amount of pressure, I would imagine, being a big league manager anyway. But to have that lurking over you is insane to
Padres
think about.
Padres haven't done it since they did it from 2011 through 2019 consecutively. So,
crazy.
Yeah, we're trying to make new records here, Katie. Good one. So how's Arenado been? How has, I'm sure we'll... You know, this is the clash of the Titans, Manny against Nolan. Nolan always seems to play pretty well. He's had a bit of a down season for him. Goldschmidt as well. Would not like to see either of those guys get hot because they're still really good baseball players in both of those dudes.
Yeah, it's been a tough year, especially for Goldschmidt. We'll start with Arenado because his first half was arguably his worst ever first half. He had his second lowest OPS in a full season, second only to when he was a rookie in 2013. And he'd be the first to say that he just wasn't good in the first half. Had just 8 home runs, was not helping an offense that was already scuffling. This Cardinals offense is brutal to watch sometimes, especially against left-handed pitchers, which is crazy when you think about all the right-handed power they allegedly have. So when you're thinking of Arenado, you're looking at his August, and all of a sudden you're seeing a much more indicative sights of Nolan being Nolan, right? So his OPS is back up to 850 this month. He slugged a key walk-off grand slam against the Brewers on Wednesday. He's looked more and more like Nolan. I'm sure just for you, Woodsy, he'll go off this series.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure you'll love to see it.
Sure.
Goldschmidt, though, different story. He's been struggling all year. For as good as, you know, Arenado's walk-off grand slam on Wednesday was, Goldschmidt struck out with the bases loaded in the ninth. In a one-out situation, all you have to do is put the ball in the outfield or somewhere, and he couldn't do that. And it's been just kind of the story of his season. It's been disappointing. It's been frustrating. You feel for Goldschmidt and all he's done for, you know, not just the Cardinals, but I think baseball in general of being just a poster of positivity and good influence for the league. But he just has not been able to figure anything out offensively this year. It's kind of been the microcosm of the Cardinals series. They just can't figure out a way to score runs. And, you know, that Padres pitching staff is really good. I looked at the probable starters. They don't have an easy matchup at all this series. So we'll see how that goes.
So who is the Cardinal that Padres fans are going to be annoyed by over the next 4 days? I feel like it used to be Tommy Edman, the San Diego kid, but he's been traded to the Dodgers, so he's gone. Who's the under-the-skin player that we need to watch out for?
She just said he got hurt. He hurt his finger, Contreras.
Oh, so he's not, well, obviously, but there's someone that's going to play that I want to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, I was actually going to say Contreras, and then I remembered that he was hurt. Yeah. So obviously I'm firing on all cylinders this morning. I'm going to go with Mason Winn. This is a 22-year-old stud. I mean, he plays with some swagger that you don't normally see in St. Louis. He's edgy. He's himself. He's fun to watch. I think I just lost you guys.
No, we can hear you.
Amazing.
We got you.
But definitely Mason Winn. He's kind of a pest, and he plays a really solid shortstop. He has a lethal arm. He slugs lefties. He's probably one of the only Cardinals that can hit left-handed pitching consistently. And I think it's just his swagger and his edge that really makes him stand out, because it's not your typical Cardinal shortstop that you see. You're seeing kind of a new era of the young guys in Mason Wynn, Victor Scott in center field. That's who I'm watching now if I'm a Padres fan.
Well, hey, do us a favor. When you go down today, give Shilty a big old hug from us and tell him that we're thinking about him and to go out and get, well, you're not going to tell him to go out and get some dubs, but tell him we said.
See if you can lift him up like Jackson Merrill did after the walk-off home run, too. Like, pick him up off the ground.
He would love that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. And I'm so strong. I could do that.
All right. Give him our, thanks, give him our love, Katie.
You got it, guys. So great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Katie Wu from The Athletic. Always just the best. She's the best. Yeah. Mason Wynn is, he spells Mason with a Y, which is weird. M-A-S-Y-N, but it's just Mason.
M-A-Y-S-O-N, right?
No, it's M-A-S-Y-N, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Mason.
Mason.
Which is just annoying kind of to start, so I can see why he's going to be the player that gets under our skin the next couple of days. He is a good player.
Good player, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Like you mentioned, they have negative 56 run differentials. They've kind of won a lot of close games just to get to 500, but they're there. I mean, you know, if they had a great September, they could threaten that last wild card spot. And they need, like Katie said, the Padres can pretty much put the dagger in their hearts here with, taking 3 out of 4 or something, but they're still thinking like, hey, if we go on a run, we could still make the playoffs in St. Louis.
How about Matt Carpenter being on their team and active, I believe? How about Tommy Pham being on their team as well? Alec Burleson's a good player. You know, yeah, like she said, Goldschmidt's been having a rough year, but it's Paul Goldschmidt. You know, I mean, there's no easy games, man. There's just no easy matchups. All the guys she mentioned, in Sonny Gray, the other rookie that she mentioned, he'll be taking us on. We've got him against, let's see. The matchups are as follows. Today you got Kyle Gibson. Tomorrow you got Miles Michaelis. Then you've got Pallante, who she mentions really, really good. And then you got Sonny Gray. And so, yeah, no joke.
Everyone in the chat is just so fixated on Katie's looks. Yes, she's very attractive. But people in the chat just can't seem to get over the fact. Katie's gorgeous. I just keep looking at the chat.
Yeah, she's awesome.
But she's very knowledgeable about baseball. That's why we have her on.
Correct.
Thank you, Katie. Really appreciate it. All right, we'll come back. Woodsy. Maybe moving to Manchester, England shortly, and we'll explain why next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.